again. The blood will never lose its power. It's just as strong and as rich today as it was the day it flowed from Emmanuel's veins. On the authority of the name of Jesus, I speak against all sickness and disease. I speak against COVID in the name of the Lord. I speak against oppression and depression. I speak against the works of the devil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, by the power of the blood, I plead the blood over you, your household, your family, your sons, your daughters, in the name of Jesus. May the Holy Spirit touch you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm telling you, God can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in our lifetime. Come on, somebody. The power of the Holy Spirit is here right now to heal. Hallelujah. To heal, to set you free, to be what you need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It feels good to be in God's house this morning. It's good to see all of you here. I believe it was last week. I don't know exactly when it was, but we prayed a prayer because I think it was Wednesday night, now that I'm thinking about it. Wednesday night, we prayed a prayer that anyone who needed to hear a phone call, and this phone call was going to benefit them, they needed a phone call, it was going to benefit them, would they please raise their hand? About four people raised their hand, and last night, one of the ladies said, I got my phone call, Pastor. And I'm believing for the rest of you that need it are going to receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what you came needing this morning, but I'm here to tell you he is in this house and he's the God of more than enough. Amen. It's great to see all of you. Great to see you. And we have been on a Daniel's fast this week. And if you didn't go on that fast, you're not going to get a demerit. There's no condemnation. I just challenge you to maybe hook up with us and go next year. Amen. But how many of you, you fasted something, whether that was one Coke or just one meal or something. You did something. Let me see your hand. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And because of that, we already feel the effects in our Sunday morning worship. The presence of God is so rich and so pure. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Genesis? And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. And as you're turning there, those of you who have joined us online, I'm glad you've joined us online. But I'm going to tell you, this morning would have been a great morning for you to be here. Amen. So if you're ever in our area, we'd love for you to drop by and join us. We're going to love you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. So drop by and see us. Well, here's a little bit of humor for you. I have two kind of corny things, and Molly said I should tell you both of them. So it's corny, but Molly gave me permission, so it's Molly's fault. So here's the first one. Yesterday, I saw a guy. He spilled all of his Scrabble letters on the road, and I asked the guy, what's the word on the street? I know, it's corny. Here's the next one. Yeah, some of you just got it, but that's okay. We'll wait on you. Here's the next one. This is corny, too. So why didn't Noah's family play cards on the ark? Because Noah was always standing on the deck. Molly, you shouldn't have gave me permission. Here we go. That's just to make you smile. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 7. Are you there? Let's go. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Look at verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put them whom he formed. Verse 9, out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10, now the river went out of Eden to water the garden. And we'll stop right there. I want to talk to you this morning. I thought that I was reading my brand new study Bible, and I got this thought from the word of the Lord, and I want to bring it to you this morning. It's called a reconstructed Eden, Let's pray, Father, Lord, for the next few minutes, just anoint our minds and our mouth and help us, Lord, to give to your people what I feel you placed in my spirit and may edify and equip the body of Christ for this season, for this time on our journey in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I'm going to just give you a real quick Bible lesson. The word Eden, as I begin to study this and look it up, the word Eden is made up really of five words, okay? So if you go and you fact check me, you'll find that it's made up of five words, and you can kind of make these words say certain things. But if you put these five words in the best order that they fit, what you get is Eden really means a delightful spot in the presence of God. Eden means a delightful spot in the presence of God. So in Eden, as you read Genesis, you find that God created man. His name was Adam and Eve, the woman. And he wanted a relationship with them. And he would come down. And the Bible says, talks about he would come down and he would have he would walk with them and have a relationship with them. And in Eden, they were surrounded by perfection. In Eden, there was no pain, there was no sorrow, there was no taxes, there were no storms. It was a wonderful place of beauty and abundance. Now, God made Adam and Eve with dignity and purpose, and this is something we don't hear a lot about, but I believe that God made Adam and Eve with divine dignity and purpose, and part of their purpose was to spread the blessings of Eden to the rest of the world had they obeyed the commands of God. But Adam and Eve, as you know, they betrayed God's purpose by their sin. And then many generations, Abraham comes along. And God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I want to enter into a covenant with you. This was initiated by God. I want to enter into a covenant with you, Abraham, of Adam. See, God wanted to bring the Jewish people to a place that they would represent him and his light to the rest of the known world. God wanted to enter into this covenant with Abraham so that he could begin to restore all things, which means, and here's where my thought starts taking shape, God wanted Israel to be a reconstructed Eden. So let's keep talking. So what he did was, is he called Moses and he said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want to show my great power to the rest of the world. And I want to show them how I can bring deliverance of my people out of bondage. And God did exactly that. Then the Lord continued to show his mighty ways by parting the Red Sea. When you read the book of Exodus, you will find that God allowed a fiery cloud to give them light by night. And it was a cloud to cover them by day so that the sun would not scorch them. When you keep reading in the scripture, you will find that God allowed his people to literally eat manna, which was angels' food, and it came down every day from heaven. He gave them water out of a rock. Keep reading the scripture, and you'll find that their clothes literally grew on their backs, and their shoes grew on their feet. He was their total sustainer and provider. What was he wanting? He was wanting to show the world the power of his great glory. He was wanting the rest of the world to see that there was no God like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That no one could take care of a group of people the way that Yahweh could take care of a group of people. And so what God was really wanting is he was wanting Israel to be, if you please, this reconstructed Eden so that the rest of the nations could look to Israel and see the power of their God. They could see the blessings of their God. Because when they were bitten by snakes, he said, if you'll put a serpent upon a brazen pole, I will heal you. He was their healer. He was their provider. He was their fire by night, and he was their cloud by day. He was their bread. He was their water. He was literally everything that they needed. This is why, brothers and sisters, you do not serve a God that is not enough. You serve a God that is more than enough. Can I get a witness this morning? See, he really wanted Israel to influence the world and to spread their blessings throughout the earth, so that the world would look at them and say, there is no God like Jehovah. There is no one as mighty as Yahweh. Man, there is no one that is as blessed as Israel. And he wanted the rest of the world, if you please, to be somewhat jealous of Israel and all that God had blessed them with. Are you with me up to this point? Now what happened is, if you keep reading, you find that Israel rejected God and his mission of a reconstructed Eden in the earth. So it didn't happen with Adam, and it didn't happen with Abraham and his seed. So many generations later, God sends his one and only son into the world to show the world what a reconstructed Eden would look like. And you know what a reconstructed Eden looked like? He called it the kingdom of God. And when you read in the New Testament, you will find out that God doesn't talk about heaven, hell, finances. He doesn't talk about anything more than what he talks about the kingdom. The kingdom is what God speaks about the most all through the New Testament. Why is that? I think I have an answer. Because the kingdom of God is reconstructed Eden. Reconstructed Eden. And some of Jesus' first words in his public ministry were this: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Why were those some of his first words? Because Adam didn't get it right. Not even Abraham and all of Israel got it right. And he's saying, I'm not pleased with all of my people because you didn't fulfill your mission. So repent. Because now you're going to get another opportunity to see what a reconstructed Eden looks like upon the earth. I have come, and the Bible says this, that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If a boy had a devil that the disciples couldn't handle, Jesus said, I can handle it. If there was some blind eyes and the disciples couldn't heal it, Jesus could heal it. Because what he was showing is this is what a reconstructed Eden looks like upon the earth. I've come through the power of my anointing to break every yoke of sin. I have come to set you free from addictions and hurts and habits and hang-ups. I have come to heal your brokenhearted. I have come to give sight to the blind. I have come to give hearing to the deaf. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. See, this is why repentance is so important, because repentance gets us back on the road to a reconstructed Eden. Can I get a witness? This is again why Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, but seek first. This is very key. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I know what you have need of, But listen, if you'll seek my kingdom first, and if you will buy into my mission, and if you will take up my ministry to reconstruct Eden in the earth, then I know what you have need of. I'll add to you houses and lands and fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers, and I will bless you not only with eternal life, but I'll bless you 100-fold in this life. But you got to seek first my kingdom. Is this making sense? So why did God choose a kingdom? Because the kingdom is Eden, and everything you need is found in a delightful spot in the presence of God. Now I want to take just a minute and I want to explain something to you. We don't even realize this, but most of us, if not all of us, are looking for Eden. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Let me explain. I'm not saying every time there are exceptions to all the rules, okay? But from what I see and hear, when most people get high, like they either do coke or they do some type of amphetamines or any type of drug, what most people are looking for is a place of no pain. Do you agree with that? For the most part, they're looking for a few minutes or an hour of no pain. Can you believe that Americans spent $146 billion on illegal drugs in 2018? I need you to work with me here just a little bit. Have an imagination. Drugs are really a substitute for the spirit. Because we're all looking for a place of no pain, no hurt, no sorrow. Check this out. Americans spent $254 billion on alcohol last year. $254 billion. Again, not with every case, but with most cases, when people turn to a bottle, they're hoping that somehow they can forget the problems. Maybe even drown out the past, the hurt, the pain. What are they really doing? Work with me now. Really what they're doing is they're looking for a place of no sorrow. A place where I don't have to look at my past and see pain. They're looking for a reconstructed Eden. Can I go a little deeper? Even when people bounce from partner to partner to partner, and you know what I'm saying, I'm guarding my words here for the sake of children. But when they go from bed to bed to bed, really what they are really looking for is they are really looking for wholeness, oneness, and relationship. It's a substitute. But what they're really wanting is to somebody to really know me inside and out. Somebody that I can share all of myself with, and you're not going to think less of me. And that is exactly what the Spirit does. The Spirit wants to enter into a relationship with all of mankind, that no matter how sorry they may be, so to speak, or no matter what they've done or where they have been or who they did it with, the Spirit says, my blood is able to wash all of that. And I can take your black heart and I can wash it in my red blood, and I can make you white as snow, and you can have a future worth living. Are you still with me? Now, when people even shop excessively, what they're really looking for is they're looking for pleasure, because Eden was a delightful place. Americans spent $16.5 billion on plastic surgery last year. $16.5 billion on plastic surgery. You know what basically they're saying? Is that I don't want any wrinkles. I want to continue to look good. I want to stay young. Hey, I agree with that. I'd like some wrinkles to go away. I'd like to live a long time. See, longevity is in most of us. We don't want to die. That's why death, the fear of death, is one of the leading fears of Americans, because we don't want to die. We want to live forever. You know what they did in Eden? They would have lived forever because God created them to be able to live forever. And when we're getting plastic surgery, stay with me, and we're doing these things, what we're really wanting is it's a longing to go back to Eden. It is a longing to go back to a place where we have no suffering and no pain and no sickness and no sorrow, and we live forever in the presence of Almighty God. In 2018, Americans spent $3.6 trillion on health care. That averages out to $11,000 for every American that is born. What are you saying? I am saying that we want to be healthy. If we didn't want to be healthy, we wouldn't have spent all of that money on doctors. But there's something in us that we want to be healthy. Do you know why that we hate death the way we do? Is because we were not designed for death. You know why we hate sickness? Because we were never designed for sickness. You know why we don't like to be isolated and alone during COVID? Is because we were never made to be isolated. It is the work of the enemy to isolate us and to bring division and to drive us from God and from one another. Why? Because in our hearts there is a longing for Eden. Can I keep preaching? Can you believe that Americans spent $89.5 billion on beauty products alone last year? Why? Because Eden was a place of beauty. We spent $82 billion on jewelry in 2019. Why? Because Eden was a place of great wealth. Now God placed Adam and Eve in Eden to worship him and to have a relationship with him. Brothers and sisters, if you hadn't woke up, wake up now. This is very important. Every person under the sound of my voice and you that are watching, God created every one of us to be a worshiper. And every person under the sound of my voice, every one of us, your pastor included, we are going to worship something. Some people worship NASCAR. Some people worship sports. Some people worship beauty. Some people worship wealth. Some worship power, prestige, possessions. Some people worship celebrities. Some people worship accomplishments. But what we're all doing is we're all worshipers, and we're all looking for Eden. We're all looking for that delightful spot in the presence of God. And if we are not in the kingdom, we're going to worship something that we think will thrill us, that will fulfill us, and that will make us happy. Remember this. We will always imitate the object of our worship. We will always imitate the object of our worship. Man was made to worship, and he is going to worship something. That's why God hates idolatry, because idolatry is worship of anything that is not meant to be worshiped. When we worship pleasure, sports, celebrities, money, sex, power, prestige, possessions, God is saying none of that is worthy of worship, and it is idolatry. I called you to be a worshiper of the one true and living God. I want to be in a relationship with you so that nothing could ever substitute my place and my purpose in your life. Now this is why God sent his one and only begotten Son to set up the kingdom of God on the earth, so he could show us the perfect example of the reconstructed Eden upon the earth. And this is why he came, so that he could deliver people from tormenting spirits. He healed them. He taught them the way of peace. He restored their joy. He restored people, and he gave them back their authority and their dominion through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness this morning? But as great as Jesus was, as a man robed in flesh, he was still limited. He could not be everywhere at the same time. Now, the Spirit of God can, but the man Christ Jesus couldn't. And so God came to earth as God's only begotten Son to show us what this reconstructive Eden would look like upon the earth. And then he said, listen, I have got to go away. Because if I don't go away, you're just going to keep looking at me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to bring salvation to the Gentile people. And when I ascend, you go to Jerusalem and you tarry a few days. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my Spirit back upon the earth. The same Spirit that was in me that raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that was in me that healed the sick and the lame. The same Spirit in me that cast out the devils. The same thing that I did to recreate a reconstructive Eden in the earth, I'm going to give you that same exact power. And why, even though through my flesh I am limited, when I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, now what you're going to do is you're going to go throughout the earth. And you're going to represent my body. And brothers and sisters, on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. In other words, Jesus Christ had to die to give birth to the New Testament church. The scripture says, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it will bear forth much fruit. And so because of the unbelief of the Jews that opened the door for the Gentiles. And Paul speaks about that we've now been engrafted in. Now check this out. God has a dream for the New Testament church. That's us. And that dream is that we would be the people in the earth that would show the rest of the world what a reconstructive Eden will look like. And that's why when you come into the house of the Lord, you ought to come to find joy and peace and healing for your body and salvation for your soul. Come on and take 5 seconds and give God some praise in his house. So we Gentiles now who were not a people have become a people. And our mission upon the earth is to reconstruct Eden. And it's called the church. This is why God don't want cranky Christians. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be a cranky Christian. Tell them, don't be a cranky Christian. I know you're hungry, and I know you want me to hurry up, but don't be a cranky Christian. The church is what God died for. He's got great hopes for the church. He wants when people see the church that they see some people that's got joy in their heart, that have unity of the Spirit, that have the power to cast out devils that have been tormenting them, that can pray the prayer of faith and healing virtue flow into their life. Can I get a witness? This is where God wants the people of the world to see the church. And when they look in the door, they look and they see the blessings of God. They see the health of God. They see the favor of God. And when they look in, they say, man, I don't have any of that. And if that's where I need to go to get it, then so be it. Why? Because everything within all of us is wanting to get back to Eden. Does this make sense? Now you know, if you've never had a revelation, now you know why the devil hates you so much. Somebody's going to get revelation here in just a minute. Now you know why the devil hates you so much. Because he hated Adam and Eve having a relationship with God because he wanted to be God. And God said, not on your life, buddy. And he kicked him out of heaven and he's been mad ever since. Now you know why that the devil wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy just like he did Adam and Eve, just like he did Israel, because he don't want you to be in that delightful spot in the presence of God. He wants you drunk, doped up, messed up. Come on. He wants you with no purpose and no money. He wants you down, depressed, discouraged, and distorted. When you do that, then man, he's got you. But I'm telling you, there is a group of people in the Quincy that is going to rise up, and we're going to be an embarrassment to the devil. I want you to look at three people and tell them, let's be an embarrassment to the devil. Woo. Come on. Let's be an embarrassment to the devil. Not so we can toot our horn, but for the glory of God. I know what you've been looking for. You've been looking. You've tried to find it in spirits, but what you can really find it in is in the Holy Spirit. What you've really tried to find it is in drugs, but you can find it in deliverance. Come on, what you really want in is joy, and you've been looking for it in all the wrong places. But in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Oh, why is this the kingdom? The kingdom is a reconstructed Eden. It is a place where people like us are supposed to find harmony, peace, love, joy, unity, relationships, purpose, and hope. Now, let me settle down for a minute. I need to make myself clear. This is not heaven. I am not saying that it is heaven. This will never be heaven. We live in a broken world and everything around us is broken. We will never eliminate, unfortunately, all addictions. And the expectation of perfection will never happen here. So you say, Pastor, what is the answer? The answer for the world is the gospel. I'm going to say this again. The answer for the world is the gospel. That is the answer for the world. It is not in marching in protest. It's not the answer. The gospel is man's answer to harmony, to social injustice, to unity among the blacks, the whites, the Asians, the red man. That is the answer, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it the answer? Because what the gospel does is the gospel leads people back to Eden. It leads them back into a delightful spot in the presence of God. I can't solve the world's problems, but I'm here to tell you God is the answer. There is the answer for the world today. It is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let God come and take your black heart and wash it with his red blood and make you white as snow. So why does the enemy hate you? Because guess what? Guess what? Here's why the enemy hates me and he hates you. You know why? Because we're trying to call people back to Eden. We're trying to call them back into that delightful spot in the presence of God. Why does the devil hate me? Why does he want to kill, steal, and destroy? Because he's doing the same thing to you that he did to Adam and Eve, that he did to Israel. He wants to take you out from your purpose. He wants to take you out from the plan and the beauty of what God has for your life. He wants to kill your joy, steal your family, and destroy your relationships. But as long as you're in Eden, you know that there's one Lord. You know that your God is more than enough. You may not know how you're going to come through, but you know your God will always come through because he is the God of more than enough. I'm hurrying So please do not misconstrue what I am saying. People, don't misconstrue me. Problems are never going to go away. People are trying to make this heaven, and this is not heaven. The best we can make it is a reconstructed Eden, just like God did. That's the best we can make it. And if we don't understand that, we're all going to stay frustrated, brothers and sisters, over all the injustices that is going on. We're going to all stay frustrated over the lawlessness that we see on our TVs. We're going to stay extremely frustrated over the politics and the hypocrisy of our media and our governmental leaders. And we're going to live in fear of what's next. But let me encourage you. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm not just picking on Sister June, but she's one of the longest ones that's had the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell y'all something. You can put Sister June, this saint of God, right in the midst of hell. And she's going to come out because she got the Spirit of the Lord on the inside. What are you saying? What Jesus said? He said the kingdom of God is within you. So if you're looking for happiness out here, you're never going to find it. Because happiness out here, money can't buy it. But when you get the joy of the Lord in your heart, you can be dropped in hell and understand that happiness and joy is an inside God, a job. Because God is in you, the hope of all glory. Have I made sense today? See, the kingdom of God is within you. So how do I bring Eden? I bring it from out of my spirit. Eden is not particularly a place. It is the Spirit of God dwelling in me. And what makes it powerful is that when I'm trying to fulfill my mission and you're trying to fulfill your mission and you're trying to fulfill your mission, then it creates a little heaven on earth, sort of like what we felt this morning. And then people walk into this atmosphere and they say, man, I've never felt anything like this in all of my life. Why? Because what you're feeling is a delightful spot in the presence of Almighty God. The church has a mission to try to recreate a reconstructed Eden. Would you give God praise right now? Can I have just a few more minutes? See, this is why we've been fasting and praying. Why are we fasting and praying? Because we're fasting and praying because as we live life upon the earth, the flesh pulls us towards selfishness. And we want to serve ourselves. And when we fast and pray, it moves us back into service and servanthood. This is why we're fasting and praying. Because life here on earth, we start slipping into pride and ego and looking what I can do. And then fasting and prayer brings us back into kingdom principles. Humility before the Lord. See, living on the earth, we want to indulge in our flesh and we want this and we want that. But fasting calls us back to not walking according to the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. See, fasting and prayer, here's why we've done it, is because it calls all of us back to the focus and the purpose of God. And that is, I want a people which are called by my name. So that when the world looks from the outside, they see a reconstructed Eden. And what God provides is things money can't. Money can buy you appeal, but it can't buy you peace. Money can buy you a jump at a rock concert, but it can't buy you joy in your heart. Money can buy you sex, but it can't buy you wholeness and relationship and oneness. And that's what God is calling all of us. Be my people, which will reconstruct Eden right here in De Quincy. Would you stand to your feet? To all of my sweet brothers and sisters, and to any of our guests, as we wrap this up this morning, I want you to understand that you cannot break the spirit of sin in your life without the Spirit of the living God. This is why Jesus says this. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or you can't what? You can't see, or you can't enter the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's the reconstructed Eden. You can't enter into it until you're born again of the water and of the Spirit. To all of my sweet brothers and sisters, if you do not have a relationship with the Lord, you know what starts you on the road back to Eden? It's called repentance. To those of you that are my brothers and sisters and you've kind of gotten cold, you know what starts you back into that delightful spot? It's called repentance. Repentance brings us back into that delightful spot in the presence of God. Why? Because the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy your life, your relationships, your joy, your home, your health, and your healing. That's why he's working overtime on all of us. And so this morning, if you're a believer, and as they sing, what I want every one of us to do, whether you're a believer, whether you're cold, whether you've never known God, I want us all right now to just pray this prayer of repentance and say, God, I want to fulfill my mission and my purpose in life. I'm not just saved just so I can come and sit on a church pew and sing a few songs. Brothers and sisters, I am saved for the glory of God. I want to say this to you. I've never thought about this, but as I was doing research, I came across something and I thought it was quite noteworthy. When we, brothers and sisters, are saved and we're in heaven, the Bible says that we are going to fall down before the Lamb and worship Him. When time will be no more, there will be no more missions. There will be no more evangelism. There will be no more discipleship. But worship is going to last forever. You were designed to worship. And you're going to worship something. You're going to worship the almighty dollar. You're going to worship beauty. You're going to worship money. You're going to worship celebrities, sports. You're going to worship something. You have to decide, what am I going to worship? And so this morning, what I'm asking all of us to do as they sing, if you're a believer, I'm asking you to raise your hands and just cry out to God. If you're cold, bow your head and repent. If you haven't known God, say, God, I want to come to Eden. I want to come to the kingdom. I want to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All over this building, forget about yourself right now. Forget about yourself. Think about others that need you right now. There's somebody in this house. They need your prayers. The enemy's got their eyes blinded and they're outside of Eden. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, lift up your voice. Those of you who are watching online, lift up your voice right now. Come on, it's called repentance.
Is a rest through the sin in life. Your blood is faultless and broke.
Your love is enough. Come on, make that journey right now.
Jesus is enough.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Your blood is a shelter in the middle of my storm. Your blood is my rest.
Hey, right where you're standing, you can begin to repent and say,
your
God,
blood is enough.
Lord, I'm not where I need to be. Help me to get back.
Jesus is enough.
Come on, if you feel like you're just a lukewarm Christian this morning, repentance. Get you on the road back.
Delivering captives, setting us free. It is a life everlasting to all who receive your love.
Come on, I'm going to get back to that delightful spot in the presence of Almighty God.
It's more than enough.
What I want you to do now is I want you to take this symbol This is a symbol of what Jesus did on the cross. You say, Pastor, why did the Lord go to the cross? He went to the cross so that you could be totally delivered from all of your sins, and He could restore Eden back into your life. So you could be in a delightful spot in the presence of Almighty God. You say, I don't know if the Lord loves me. Then look at Calvary. He loved you so much, He was willing to hurt and give His life for you so that you can make your way back to a delightful spot in the presence of Almighty God. And when we share communion, what we are saying is, Lord, we will never ever forget all that You did for us so that we could live in the presence of God. Is everybody with me? Does everybody have a cup? Now, if you will, take the wafer. I want to just pray for just a moment. Father, I thank You for going to Calvary. I thank You, Lord, for coming to the earth so that You could show us a reconstructed Eden and what it looks like. A place where people find hope, health, healing, joy, blessings, abundance. That's why You came, because You wanted us to experience the very thing that Adam and Eve experienced. You didn't want us to walk on this earth and be trampled by the works of the enemy. You wanted us to walk in authority and dominion. And for that, God, we say thank You. Thank You for the body of Christ that was broken. Would You now take Your wafer and would You just break it? As a representative of His body that was broken, beaten, the 39 stripes on His back for Your healing, now take His body and eat it. Now this juice is a typology of the blood of Christ. He said, and as often as you drink My blood and eat My flesh, not literally but figuratively, you do remember Me. You remember why I came, because I wanted to restore the kingdom to you. I wanted to give the kingdom to you. I wanted you to be My chosen people. I want you now to take this juice and let's drink it together. Now, if you would, set it down and ask the Lord to help you to be everything that He created you and designed you to be. That we would be the people right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, my prayer is today that we in De Quincy would be the people that You want us to be. That we would get the revelation that we have such an important mission in this life. We are, God, to reconstruct Eden right here in our community. Lord, we love You and we thank You. Bless every person. Lord, bless every person, man, woman, boy, and girl, that missed something this week for this fast. God, it's helping all of us to get back into alignment to our assignment. And we thank You for it. And we bless Your name. And everybody say amen. I know you're ready to go, but Jared, I want you to sing this chorus. And before you sing this chorus, slip your hands up and just give God praise right now for His word. Give Him praise for His word. Give Him praise for what we're going to see. For the benefits of fasting that we're going to see. Things that are going to materialize. Come on, thank Him right now in advance. God, I thank You for bringing my family members back into Eden. I thank You, Lord, for healing bodies. Thank You for restoring, oh God. Thank You, Jesus.
Jesus is enough.
Your blood is a shelter in the middle
Thank
of
you,
my
Lord.
Storm. Your blood is my refuge when I'm hurting and alone. Your blood is enough. Oh, Jesus, it's enough. It's renewing, restoring, restoring, saving and healing, delivering captives, setting us free. It is a life everlasting to all who receive it. Your blood is more than enough. Restoring, saving and healing, delivering captives, setting us free. It is a life everlasting to all.
Great things in store for TPC. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we got great things in store for TPC. Come on. Heaven, heaven, heaven is going to kiss the earth. Yes. We're going to reconstruct Eden right here in a community of De Quincy. I see them coming. I see them coming from the north, from the
the south, from the east, from the west, the broken, the wounded, the hurting, the discouraged, the depressed, the downhearted. I see them coming. They're coming back to Eden. Come on, somebody. Yes! He's more than enough. He's got what you need when you need it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.